Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday. And we have Lewis Black with us this hour. Now, I got to tell you, when I told my family that Lewis Black was going to be on the air, they all said, "Lewis Black, he's the biggest guest you've ever had on the radio." And I said, "He is?" We've had some pretty big people on the radio, but they were absolutely thrilled that Lewis Black was going to be with us. And so they're listening, I hope, and we'll call in maybe even today. Lewis Black is an extraordinary comedian. He is an award-winning comedian, an actor. He's a playwright. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He appears regularly on The Daily Show as America's foremost commentator on everything. He's had many HBO and Comedy Central specials. He lives in New York City, a tour bus, and in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He's a graduate of the Yale School of Drama and as a playwright has authored over 40 plays that have been produced in theaters across the country. He's also an actor appearing in a number of films. He's been on television, has many credits for that. He has received the award for the best male stand-up by the American Comedy Awards in 2001 and was recognized in 2004 for his blockbuster comedy tour Rules of Engagement. He works also as a professional mentor with a 52nd Street Project, teaching inner city youth, and he raises money for several scholarship programs, including the Williamson Theater Festival, where he also teaches. He's active in the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And did I tell you the name of his book? I guess I ought to do that. It's Me of Little Faith. It's a book about religion, so he's sure to offend some of us. But, you know, it's okay. You're a comedian. It's okay to be offensive at times. Oh, my gosh, the phones are already going. 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Hi, Lewis Black.
Hi there.
Thanks for being with us.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
So you remember, I remember this too, and this made a big impact, and it did in your life. This Time magazine headline in 1966, "Is God Dead?"
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think that there was any need to go into that. I didn't think there was a need for Time to... I was way too young to be dealing with that concept.
Did you keep that magazine and read it later?
No, I read it then.
Yeah?
I shouldn't have.
Why?
Because it was that, you know, look, you got to leave all options open. You just don't even ask the question.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not worth it. Can we just move on?
Tell me about the role that religion played in your early life. You grew up Jewish, kind of?
No, I grew up Jewish more than kind of. I mean, it was not a Reform Jew, which is Reformed Judaism is like the final transition. This will irk people, but where you're not Jewish anymore, it's like the last way station. But I mean, it was a fairly solid background. I mean, I learned I went to Hebrew school, you know, every Wednesday. I was bar mitzvahed. I was confirmed, which means I went to Sunday. It's, you know, high school. You know, I went until the 10th grade. I studied at Sunday school till I was 15. So It was pretty, you know, but my parents weren't majorly religious. My grandfather didn't care at all. He had, he'd kind of gone to Israel, and that was that for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't, there was some members of the family, you know, the relatives who were, but not our end.
The book indicates, Lewis, that you may have been a little scared of God from the beginning. You were never, you say, just able to just let go and feel like you were really talking to God.
No, I mean, they have this thing. One of the things that kind of drove me out of Judaism was Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
So you have one day in which you're supposed to basically make amends to God, or and it's the day that God writes your name in the book of life or the book of death. It's not, once again, you don't expose a 5-year-old to that.
Yeah.
It's not really. It's, you know, that's just wrong.
Yeah,
it was trauma. It really, actually, was traumatizing. I wrote in the other book about the fact that it made me crazy as a kid because I started feeling like if I better start apologizing beforehand. So whenever I had a bad thought, I would have to pray to God. And I did that for over a year until my parents took me to a shrink, and that scared me more.
You talk about God not being property, and I grew up Catholic, and I always, you know, was worried about going into Marion Chalker's church, because in those days it was some kind of sin. I think it was a venial sin to go into Marion Chalker's church because she was Lutheran. And you talk about this, God isn't property, so how can religions claim, and they do, that they're the only true religion, the one true way to God and eternal salvation?
I think it's really unbelievable. They all basically, I mean, you know, there's variations. It's all the same thing. It's all variations on the same thing. It's like just another way. It's like saying that one language is the true language. Idiots. It's all, you know, 95% of religions line up on the same. They believe in one God. They've got some sort of story about how the earth came to be. They got this. They got that. They got a morality, and they all are, even the Jews say, you know, they're the chosen people, please.
Mm-hmm. You do, though, have a list in the book of reasons why you believe in God and reasons why you don't believe in God. Kind of an equal treatment here. Would you like to tell us about some of those?
If you can tell them to me. Hold on.
Actually, page 122.
I got the book here.
Okay.
Because it's just the funniest. I'll tell you the weirdest thing about when you start going out to do a book tour is the fact that you wrote the book, you finish it,
right,
and then 6 months later, after you finally have done it, you go, "Oh God, thank God,
yeah,
it's
I'm done."
Done
with it.
And then they send you out, and it's like, "Oh yeah, what did I write?"
right, and I've just read it, so
yeah. The reasons I believe in God: food. Especially barbecue, burger, steak, pasta, cheese, sausage, sausage, gravy, and the pill that lowers cholesterol, a perfect martini and a good glass of wine. And they found out today, the front page of the Times, is they're saying red wine is, now they're really saying it actually anti-aging.
Is that right? I didn't read.
I'm just
reading politics today. I haven't read about the wine yet.
Yeah, no, it's well, there's enough politics today.
Yeah.
I went right to the wine.
Yeah.
a hole in one, which I actually did do, which made me a firm believer.
And it was
I couldn't have done that on my own.
And you write about that earlier in the book, that it really was a day of, well, perfection for you, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Right.
This is a perfect day. You can't beat that.
Right.
and then there's the reasons I don't believe in God. Ticks.
Oh, I hate ticks.
I know.
Ew.
And especially, I don't know, have you guys gotten the Lyme stuff yet?
Yeah, we have.
You got it now? See, it's even worse.
Yeah, I know.
It was bad enough when I was a kid, but to get something where you're tired and you're achy and you can't get up.
Oh, I know.
E. coli, which really AIDS, cancer, both diseases of the sign.
Yeah.
The laughter of a child. Especially up close or on a plane. I travel all the time. It's just, there's nothing more terrifying than watching somebody bring a baby onto the plane and sit behind you. And it's just getting back at what I used to do. My parents used to take me on, you know, when the first time I was on a plane, apparently I was screaming, I thought this was supposed to be faster. fat. The American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
American Idol, I could even move up.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
You know, there's, so those are a lot of the ones that, you know, there are all sorts of reasons. I go back and forth.
Yeah. You were talking about airlines. My husband travels a lot, too, and he immediately went to that airline traveler's prayer and said he said you had it nailed. This is the prayer that all travelers ought to say.
It is. It's one of my favorite chapters. It's actually the prayer, and then it's also my belief that that's hell. I finally decided that's my concept of hell.
Yeah.
That you're in an airport and you're waiting for your plane to take off, but it never takes off.
Right.
And you're wandering around with one of those vouchers that can't get you enough food.
Right. And now they've cut out, what airline cut out even those little pretzels? So there's nothing.
Is that right? together.
Yeah, somebody cut out little pretzels.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Well, you know, how do people respond to you when you take on this issue? Because it's so, as you know, during the presidential campaign here, it is such a sensitive issue to people, this issue of religion. And here you are, you know, offending a lot of people, some people finding it very funny, others saying, how in the world can this guy talk like this?
Well, I haven't really gotten the backlash yet because it's early. So
yeah.
My mother said I was going to get it, and at some point somebody's got to go. You know, this is enough is enough. Okay,
right.
We've had the discussion. I mean, the one thing about living, you know, I'm sorry. When I was a kid, and we're talking 50s, this stuff wasn't brought up.
Yeah.
It wasn't discussed. Nobody walked around and said, you know, here's my faith, here's my faith, here's my faith. You know, Huckabee's discussions would have been seen as insane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no, the big discussion was prayer in the schools, okay? All right, that's a legitimate discussion. That's a real discussion about real things where somebody can bring, this is what I think, this is what I think. But this nonsense, and eventually it's got to stop, this photo ops of people coming in and out of churches and stuff like that. They act like, they listen to the, you know, do they really, or they go in, they really listen to what that, their pastor or their teacher is saying, really?
Right.
And they're not just showing up?
Right. Because they have to.
Because they do have to.
Yeah.
And we're insane that. No other country that I know of puts people through that. If your faith is so strong and you think it's so great, you know, why don't you just practice it, shut up, and if it interests me, I'll ask you. I'll go, wow, you're really great.
And why is it so big in this country, Lewis, and not, say, in Europe?
Because they have a culture, so they've kind of relaxed a little.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they need to, feel the need to advertise it. I mean, they got their own problems, you know. I mean, like my brother lived in France, and the guy who'd been living in France for 200 years whose family had come from Poland 200 years ago was still referred to as the Pole. So
right.
There is an exchange,
right.
But there's certain things that they don't worry about, and that's one of them. I don't know why. I don't know if it has to do with the Calvinist thing and the whole thing of the fact that they came over here to leave religious persecution, and now they just persecute. I guess they wanted to just continue the persecution of each other.
Well. Let's talk about athletes. This bugs me, too. There's nothing more obnoxious, you write to me, than an athlete telling the audience after a big victory that God was the reason for it. I like football games, you quote this guy, but I hate the interviews after the games because the winning players always give credit to God. The losers blame themselves. Just once, you'd like to hear players say what, Lewis?
I'd like them to say that it was Jesus made me lose.
It was Jesus made me lose.
Really, Jesus was the one who got me. If Jesus had been there with me, I wouldn't have fumbled.
He hates our
team. It is. It's like, really? You know, the God in his infinite wisdom. I mean, if there is a God, he's got time for, I like Wisconsin football, but he's really going to stop in the middle of the day and go, oh, it's game time?
Let's welcome phone calls. Lewis Black is our guest. His book, Me of Little Faith, is just out on the market today. As a matter of fact, our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. We have a couple lines open right now if you'd like to join us. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this time period, we're going to talk about Bobby Kennedy and we'll talk with the author of The Last Campaign, Robert Kennedy and the 82 Days That Inspired America. Our guest has written a number of other books, and it's, to tell you the truth, I haven't read the book yet. I will today, and it's supposed to be just terrific. Louis Black, award-winning comedian, actor, playwright, New York Times bestselling author, has a new book. It is titled Me of Little Faith, and he is with us this hour, 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. We start with Keith from Shorewood. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Louis. This is a great pleasure to talk to you. Always look forward to your appearances on HBO and Summerfest and all the rest.
No, thank you.
Hey, just a quick story about air travel and unnervingness. We flew down to, we took Air Egypt down to Sharm el-Sheikh a couple years ago. And after they got done with the safety announcement, which featured a cartoon character of like a typical Egyptian with a mustache so thick it looked like it could scrub a barbecue grill, up on the screen pops a Muslim prayer card.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was... It almost made us rethink the trip.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you, when the comment came out from Barack Obama, you know, the bitter comment about people in folks out in the country and God, what was your reaction to that?
I thought it was, it's the you know, it's one of those things you think, you don't say it loud.
Mm-hmm.
You think it. What do people feel the obligation to say this stuff for? And there, you know, he's right about a portion of the country. I don't care. I travel all over the country. Don't tell me there isn't, you know, the whole, everybody, oh, no, not us. Well, yeah. There are, I'm not saying, there. And I mean, what he was saying, which is as deep as in the other way, was is there's a lot of people in this country who's not going to vote for him because he's black. That's what I thought he was saying.
Yeah.
But I always go two steps further than what they're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you ever heard this. I attend church, but ever hear this great quote from H.L. Mencken about church?
Which one?
He says it's a place where a guy who's never been to, a gentleman who's never been to heaven describes it to people who are never going to get there.
Yeah, that's a great quote.
Thanks a lot, Louis.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith, for your call. I don't know if you watched the television coverage last night, but what do you think about Senator Barack Obama? What do you think about his nomination? I mean, it's a fairly big thing, don't you think?
It's a great thing, but I don't. You know what? I don't care anymore.
Really?
The length of this primary was reprehensible. Really reprehensible. I think it's disturbing. On all parts, even more disturbing for the Republicans, because essentially what they said was, is instead of saying it aloud, oh, we got a lame duck president. You know, it's never started that early. Even when the guys are in their last months of office, it doesn't start this early.
Mm-hmm.
I already feel like I've been with them so long that I feel like they've all been president, and it was really great, and can we move on? I mean, I think it's a great thing that... that we finally have gotten through that hump, and then eventually we'll get through the hump of a woman being nominated, and then an Amish person, and then a and then we'll go through everybody, and then we'll finally get to the Jews. It'll be great, but I really find it, all three of them, in terms of what's going on, we have major problems now, major, and I find that none of them. And especially the Democrats, if they were such great leaders, then in 2006, when the Democrats said, "Oh, we're going to do this," then one of them, somebody in that party, should have stepped up and started getting things done. And they're not;
mm-hmm.
They're getting nothing done. We're still being like run over by a tank, and none of these guys are the guys that, like Tiananmen Square, standing in front of the tank. Going hit me. It's great. Hope, change, terrific. Okay?
Yeah.
What are we going to get, quarters now? And I'm too old for hope.
Hmm.
I'm way too old for hope. I'm serious. I think it's great for kids. I think that was perfect. When I was a kid, the greatest thing was hope. It was. But
really?
Right now, hope to me is I'm on a book tour, and so when I wake up at a hotel, my biggest hope is they'll have a breakfast buffet.
Right, well, you can always hope that you're going to have another hole-in-one.
Yeah, I could hope that, too.
Right, that would be good.
But I'm not crazy.
What about this, let's talk about death here for a while. You got this part of the book where 9 out of 10 of us who are facing death, and this is so true, immediately promise God that we will do anything if he will just make sure that we won't die.
Yeah.
That's true.
It is true. I'm sure of it. I go through it.
Do you?
I've been going through just kind of hopefully tailing off, but 2.5 weeks of this head cold that became something else. It's still kind of a cold, but it could be sinuses. I go to the doctor. He's going, it's one of three things. It's one of three. And all I'm thinking is, I have sinus cancer. There's never been a recorded case of it. I have it. And I'm just going, you know, really, if you just make sure I don't have sinus cancer, I'll really be thrilled.
And
I'll do whatever you want.
And what do you think God would want you to do, Lewis?
I think he'd want me to stop swearing so much.
Ah.
If what they say is true. If religion is correct on profanity, which I don't think it is.
Because
I think it's words, it's adults in the community use to express anger. I don't know what he'd want me to do. He'd probably say, get out of comedy and actually start doing something.
Yeah. But you also do something, too. I mean, you do a lot of charity work.
I try to.
Yeah.
Now, I used to do more direct. I mean, now I still try to, I find myself in the, what's nice is being in a position where I can do stuff and, I can get things to, I bought a bunch of my own books back the first round so I could send to the USO.
Right.
You know, it's nice to be in that position where you can do it. I wish, this is one of the states I can talk about this in because you guys are a little more conscious of it, but I wish that they would actually take more of my money from me and do stuff with it for the community. So I have to now figure it out on my own, and it's like another job.
Oh, that's funny. What do you think happens?
It's true, but it is true.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable. The astonishing thing is to start reading statements by people that they're not going to pay their, they don't really like paying property tax because it goes to education and they don't have kids.
Right.
But really?
Right. Yeah, right.
And, I mean, that to me is, you can arrest somebody based on that.
Yeah.
And also, just as long as we're on the subject of politics, when the President of the United States goes on Deal or No Deal, that is grounds for impeachment.
Isn't that an amazing show? I watched it, and I just can't believe it's on television.
I am going to do a show where I have scantily clad women, and I just flip a coin, and I announce whether it's heads or tails, and then a scantily clad woman will walk up.
It'd be a hit.
No commercials. So
yeah, it'd be a great hit.
It'll be scantily clad women all the time.
Yeah. Let's go to John from Menasha. Hi, John.
Good morning. I'm enjoying your guest. I think him and I would get along famously over a cup of coffee.
That would be nice.
I just wanted to make a comment. I saw a Charles Laughton movie many years ago where he was a Roman senator, and his young friend had come back from the wars beating up people all over the place. And he said, I'm going to build a great festival for you tonight to celebrate your victory to the gods. His friend responded, but you don't believe in the gods. And Charles said, publicly, I believe in all the gods. Privately, I believe in none of them. I would say that describes all of our senators.
Yeah, I think so.
Where are you from?
I think it's a display.
Exactly.
You know, I'd love to I find it when they talk that way tiresome.
Yeah.
It's not their job to talk to me about that. That's why they have the people who actually went to rabbinical school and divinity school.
Yeah. Where are you from, John?
I'm Scottish originally.
I played the Edinburgh Festival, which is terrific.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, you've been to the festival?
Yes.
Did you say you've been to the Edinburgh Festival?
Yeah.
I'm going to Edinburgh at the end of this month.
Oh.
I love Edinburgh. I have to say, they need to advertise a little better because no one really knows how beautiful that city is. It's really stunning.
Hmm. It's one of the reasons you believe in God.
Yes.
When you believe in God. Right?
Yeah.
At the Edinburgh Festival. Thanks, John, very much for the call. Well, do you spend much time thinking about it, and what do you think about what happens when you die?
I think a bit about it because my brother passed away. So
I know.
He passed away a while ago, but I mean that really kind of made me think about it because I felt like he was still present. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the strangest experiences in my life, and I have a friend who's a friend. He's I don't pay him to be my psychic, but he is a psychic,
mm-hmm.
And I asked him how all of this happens and everything. And he described talking to dead people like you talk about if you were an accountant or an actuary. he talked about it, and which made me feel like, there's got to be somewhere. And I'm big, I don't really want to go anywhere. So I'm... And if energy doesn't die, that to me is it. If energy, well, then we you go somewhere,
right?
I mean, that's it. I mean, whether you're conscious is something else, but something's going somewhere,
right? And it's why people take on the religion too, as you write in the book. Religion gives us a destination to head toward. It's nice. If you can believe that you're going to this nice place.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? I've read somewhere once, it was an interesting thing and I can't remember, it was probably more toward the Eastern, but that if you actually kind of had a belief and you felt that that was where you were going and that was you had some sort of environment you felt you'd end up with, you were actually limiting what the possibility was, that you might just end up there and you could have really ended up somewhere else. That's a little more than I can handle. But I do think there's got to be something.
Mm-hmm. I wish somebody would tell us what it was, come back from the other side, don't you?
I know. Well, they always think you got all those books. You know, they see the white light and then...
Right.
You know, I've had those out-of-body experiences when I was trying to figure out what a subprime mortgage is. I actually leave my body by the third sentence.
Right. Let's go to Becky from Janesville. Hi, Becky.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Louis Black, you are hilarious. The one comedian my husband and I can agree on. Thank you.
Thank you.
We think you're great. We think you're so incredibly intelligent, which is what makes you so great.
Well, thank you very much.
My comment is that I agree with you that we don't have to talk about what people should believe if everybody would live out their beliefs the way that they were initially presented to us through the prophets, whoever your prophet might be.
Yes.
And it's incredible to me that by talking about it, we clearly aren't doing it. It's almost the opposite.
But it is. It's that, it's actually the kind of puffy chest. It's like, it's showing that thing, you know, it's kind of pride.
Absolutely.
Which is not really supposed to be a great thing.
In any religion.
Yeah. No, you know who I say I really like the most is the Amish.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just do it.
Right.
They don't tell you, they're sitting in the middle of the
lake. They dress kind of funny, but they just do it.
And they're just doing it, and they're not saying, they're going, okay, here's what we do.
And if I can just interject in your more recent conversation, I think that heaven or the afterlife is just complete knowledge of all those questions that we all have.
That's which is more than possible.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be great. I said if you actually had a sense of what it was, after death, that it would be like putting your finger in a socket.
You'd probably want to get there, huh?
Now, you're from Janesville?
Yes.
With the giant cow.
Yes. You know about our giant cow?
I have a postcard that I grabbed. I saw the giant cow, and I stopped at the giant cow.
Well, that is really cool. You know, we have this dilemma because the giant cow where it was, that's all been redone, and everything was torn down, and now there's a big big home improvement store there.
Oh.
But they saved the giant cow, and they're putting her back.
Oh.
They better.
Yeah.
That's one of those great moments is when I saw the giant cow.
If you get around again, you give me a call.
I will. I've been to a lot of Wisconsin. I'm big on Wisconsin.
Well, from what I can see in my home, we're big on you, too. So thanks, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Becky. Thanks for the call. Lewis Black is our guest. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. You asked this question in the book, which I think is a good one, and what are your thoughts surrounding it? If Jesus returns to earth, as many Christians believe he will, how will we know it?
Well, he's going to have a website, for starters, and he's going to have to, in order to compete with all of the, with everything, all of the information out there, YouTube, MySpace,
right.
Facebook, everything, television, TMZ, all of the news, I mean, stuff that I can't even keep up with it now. He is going to have to go. I think he's going to have to go into rehab. He's going to have a great story. He's going to have to have come back, been disappointed, and really liquored up, and spent at least a month in rehab.
Right.
Hopefully at Hazleton.
Yeah. Why Hazleton?
It's the first one I can think of.
Right.
And I think they don't get enough plugs. Betty Ford's always getting it. So.
What about all this stuff? I mean, you've profited by it, and you know, it's just a whole different world when you mention all those things. I don't know how to use some of them. I'm sorry to say, and I probably should. But do you think it changes the way we live in the world to have all these YouTubes and cell phones? And
yeah, I do. I think it creates. It certainly makes me wonder why I went to drama school. It creates that. I mean, there's everybody wants to be seen.
Yeah.
It's created a sense of, like, the Britney Spears guy, the one who was screaming and yelling and crying about Leave Britney Alone, which I don't even get that. I mean, it takes a week until I get it. Somebody has to send it to me. Or I hear people talking about it.
Right.
Because it's kind of like the equivalent of, like, what used to be the water cooler when you talk about
right.
what was on Mary Tyler Moore.
Right. Right. Right.
Now we're reduced to 2 minutes of Britney Spears guy.
Right.
I just think it pounds us with a ton of information. I, about 15 years ago when I was in my act, I used to talk about the fact that I just thought there'd come a time when everybody would have their own channel. You'd have cameras all around your house, and you'd just be producing your own life would be the channel, and then you'd be putting ads out for local people, and we could just watch each other, which is what it's come down
that's
to.
That's right, that's true.
It's what it's come down to, and then people are upset that the government will be watching them.
Right.
Really?
Right.
And you expose yourself in ways you shouldn't be exposed. I mean, that whole list of people just doing porn, and they're probably the same people who'd be upset if there was a camera in a public space.
Yeah.
But they'll, get into bed and put it online.
Right, right. Yeah. Let's welcome more phone calls for Lewis Black, who's our guest this hour. He just, his book is out today, actually. It is Me of Little Faith. He's, of course, very, very popular and award-winning comedian, actor, playwright, New York Times bestselling author. He has appeared on The Daily Show for a number of years and has written and starred in many HBO and Comedy Central specials. He's written plays. He's an actor. And we are talking to him and asking you to do the same. Oh, we also have, speaking of technology, we have an email address as well. So if you can't get through on the phones, the email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Our phone numbers are 800-486-8655 or 414-227-2050 in Milwaukee. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lewis Black is our guest. Me of Little Faith is his latest book, and we're talking to him. You are, too. We go to Boyd from Milwaukee next. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen, and good morning, Lewis.
Hey there.
It is a pleasure to talk with you. I find you a riot. Just before I get to my question, you talked about earlier about athletes thanking a higher power for their success. Well, a few years ago, I remember seeing an article in the ever-so-wonderful newspaper called The Onion. And the title of the article was "Athlete Personally Blames Jesus for the Loss." So yeah, that's one that's always stuck out.
That's nice.
Yes, my question really is this: I don't identify myself as being religious, but I know that there certainly are a lot of people are, and I would certainly think people should have their right to practice that. But when you look at things like what we've seen with science and what we've seen, even with new discoveries in archaeology, you look at what happened in Stonehenge, how we're rethinking our ancient history, surely people who might have more of an orthodox view, you'd think they're going to have to change their direction in some way. I mean, I don't know how people continue to say, well, we're not going to call it creationism anymore. We're going to call it intelligent design. I mean, it just seems like they're going to have to acknowledge some things that maybe their previous generations didn't want to.
Yeah, it's it seems like it, but then they got a giant museum. I can't remember if it's in Kentucky or Tennessee. Kentucky, I believe, and which is devoted to it's the Intelligent Design Museum, basically.
Yeah.
You know, spending a ton of money putting this thing together. And they show dinosaurs with kids, which I've said my act would be, you know, if you believe that, then chances are you watch the Flintstones as if it were a documentary. The worst line I say in my act, I think it's a terrible thing to say, and I apologize to everyone out there before I say it, but it's true. It's my take is that the idea that the Earth was created in 7 days, which is, by the way, in the Bible that we Jews wrote, it's the Jewish Bible. I constantly have to point this out. I think that's where Christians run into trouble. They read our book and they don't really understand it because it's not their book. And what they don't understand is that the reason they wrote that the world was created in 7 days was to find out who in the tribe was the most gullible. And when I say that in front of an audience, it's usually I get big laugh, and then they kind of go, So, I mean, I you know what my take on it is that partly, I mean, I think it's two separate reality systems to believe that if it took place in 7 days or to believe in evolution. And since we don't really have time to argue this anymore, and I'm exhausted with the argument that what we have to do in order to move on and get things done, and then we can come back to the discussion, is just come up with, I'll give up my belief in evolution, you give up the belief in 7 days, and we'll just move on. or we can combine them for a while if you still need something to think about. But there's so much more that's got to be thought about at this point in time in terms of trying to get things back on track. We are in a mess.
Yeah.
This is staggering.
Yeah.
You know, I read a thing the other day, like, if you're not getting it, I'm sure you get your own in Wisconsin. I know you do because, Milwaukee had that thing where you had stuff in your water. That
yeah, like, cryptosporidium.
Yeah. So we had here the actuaries, the guys who figure out the pension fund in New York, went, we're $500 million short. We made a mistake. Really? It's math. It's it's that stuff. It's like, I don't know what we have to do, but somebody's got to, we're like slipping at every turn.
Thanks for the call, Boyd.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Email Kathy from Eau Claire. Will you be in the Twin Cities area in the near future? I'm a longtime fan.
From the Twin Cities?
Yeah.
I will be in, I'm in Minneapolis. I'll try to find the date, but I'm, you can go to lewisblack.com. I think it's there, but I'm there literally a few days before the convention. September 4th.
Oh. Okay.
I will be in Minneapolis at the Orpheum Theater.
Yeah. No doubt people are arranging, those who are going to the convention, to come in a little early to see you, right?
I'm sure.
Right. I'm sure.
And I'm also in Milwaukee, August 28th at Pottawatomie.
Bingo. Oh, okay.
And I'm in Green Bay at some point.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Becky from Berlin. Hi, Becky.
Hi. I just really wanted to say hi to Louis Black. You're awesome. We think you're hilarious. And
thank you.
My question is, how come the religious right or the Christians who think heaven is so fantastic are so against anyone dying? They're just, you know, the Muslims at least will, you know, die for their beliefs. They want to keep everyone living. Grandma's a vegetable, but she's got to keep living.
That's very funny. I hadn't heard that one. You're absolutely right. It's really unbelievable.
Well, you're great. We just love you, and I love you and John Stewart. You do a great job together.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, right. Thanks for the call, Becky.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Jim from Waukesha. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I also enjoy you on The Daily Show and think you're fantastic. I did see you at the Riverside Theater last time you were in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I do a shot of Jägermeister, I think of you.
Oh, that's, I'm certainly glad. I'm sure your liver isn't, but I'm
yeah.
I'm glad.
In your show, you do a bit about the. I wanted to change the subject from religion to energy conservation, and
sure,
you do a bit about the MIT guys putting them all in a room.
Oh yeah,
and not letting them out until they come up with an idea.
You basically that's how you do it. You want to come up with a new form of instead of oil. You gather up all these kids, you get all of you sucker kids into science, and you gather them all up and you take them to a warehouse somewhere and you lock them up in there and you say you don't come out until you've got an answer. And or if you don't come up with an answer, we're going to kill you. And I think they do it pretty quick.
Well, my question is, I have a nephew who's an engineer who's developed a machine to produce electricity that might be an answer, and I was hoping I could maybe email you off your website and get you and maybe network some of your comedian friends and put some money up for the investigation of the machine and see if we can get the thing working.
Well, send it to the send it to my website.
All right, Jim from Waukesha, remember that and I'll email you.
Okay, you got it.
Finally, I wanted to know what is your current position with like energy conservation and where the gas prices are.
I think it's insane. It's clinically insane. They go 18 cents. Meanwhile, the oil company makes $11 billion. They don't focus on that. I've spent my whole life watching oil companies make tons of money. I don't quite understand. The whole thing is that then I can't for the life of me figure out. Everybody says it's because of the environmentalists that they don't build another refinery. And I don't believe that's quite true. Why don't you just... Here's my feeling. They got $11 billion, all right? Can we just tax part of it and take from them X amount of money and put it toward research? How do you come up with an iPod that's really so small? It's the size of a credit card, and it plays all the music you want to hear.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you can't come up with something. I said if you could download the sun and it played music, then we might kind of try to figure this out.
Mm, yeah. You see this guy on the news? I was watching. I on election nights, I just go nuts. I watch 8 hours, 9 hours. I can't leave the sofa.
Wow, you're good.
I'm obsessed. But I was watching this guy on the news last night who had this SUV, you know, and he was paying $85 every 3 days to fill up his tank. He figured it was too much. He's trying to get rid of the SUV, and he's losing tons of money on it. As if we didn't see this coming.
Yeah, I know. And you know what in the Times again on the business section, the headline, it's probably the same there, that GM has finally decided to build, really, that it's going to start building smaller cars.
Right, right.
They just figured it out today.
Right, exactly.
I mean, really? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And the only thing I thought that's good news is once they've dismantled all the plants and they've changed them over, the price of gas will drop. That'll be the day the price of gas drops.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jim, very much for the call. Let us go to Nick from Luck. Hi, Nick.
Hello. Great to speak with Lewis. I really appreciate the opportunity. I was a little shocked to hear that I don't follow as much as I probably could on the internet type stuff. I suppose that's how you'd find out about you actually being a playwright.
Yeah.
And having done a lot of small stage type stuff myself on the drama level as far as small country type theater out in the bush, out in the sticks, as they say here in Wisconsin. I'm fascinated to know your ability to cross between the tour, if it was an all-encompassing thing as far as the comedy tour bits on stage and the playwright type stuff. I don't consider myself an aspiring anything. That kind of drives me up a wall when I hear, you know, people struggling. I wish they'd say they were a struggling waiter, not a struggling actor. But in a nutshell, I'm curious at how a guy like me can basically, you know, you just hit the bricks, as they say, and get out and start spitting it out. Or, you know, is there some better way for people out in the country to, you know, to move up into more of a city-level tour of the comedy act? I'd love to get out there and throw a few lines myself.
Where do you live?
I live up in Luck, fortunately Luck, Wisconsin, which
where's
is the name
Luck?
Of itself. You know, outside the Twin Cities, probably an hour and a half, you know, and that's not too far away. But
well, then
you just
got
go,
to, you
start
go to
hitting
Acme
the bricks,
Comedy
or,
Club.
What do you do?
You go to the Acme Comedy Club that has an open mic night.
Open mic night in Minneapolis type of deal.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah,
that's where you start.
You
go in and just stand up. I mean, especially
like
if you've done some acting.
Wait, we can only hear you. Hold on just 1 second, Rick, and let Lewis talk, and then we'll get back to you. Go ahead, Lewis.
Okay. Yeah, you go drive there, go get on stage, do it again, do it again, do it again. That's all you can do. That's all I did. I was terrible for years.
Huh.
Yeah, I had no idea, so I'll think about it a little differently next time I hear your name pop up. So.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, you know, we were talking about this in the office, and then you write about it in the book, too. What do you think about reincarnation? I mean, it's kind of a soothing thought, isn't it?
I love it.
I do, too.
I just don't like coming back as, like,
right.
You know, some yeah. sort of a, you know, some sort of a dung beetle. But I don't mind, you know. I mean, I kind of like the idea of it. There is something kind of soothing about it, and it is also that whole thing of energy can't go somewhere. So, if there is energy with a spirit, which is why I think which was so weird when my brother died, and I still felt his presence, and there's so many people who, and I didn't, and it wasn't something like I went. I didn't feel like I was jerking myself around for comfort.
Right.
I just felt it.
Right.
And because I certainly was not, you know, so when you think about that, if the spirit leaves with any sort of consciousness, why shouldn't it go end up trying to, why shouldn't it end up somewhere else?
Do you still feel his presence, Lewis?
On occasion, yes. Hmm. But not, you know, over time. And that's the other reason I think there's something going on, because over time it's like, well, he found somewhere to go. I still feel it, but each year, you know, it's that thing of, you know, the thing about time. It heals wounds,
right.
In that sense. I don't forget him, but I don't have that, you know, I feel like I've always felt like, you know, he's a part of me.
Right. Let's go to Tona from Washburn. Hi, Tona.
Hi. Well, I want to say I'm really impressed by your dossier. I was amazed to find out all the things that you've accomplished.
I'm probably a workaholic.
And a very funny one. I was wondering what you think about how all the major religions in the world all started out with this simple plan to be good and love each other, and how we got to where we are today.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, what's that whole thing of competition?
Well,
I don't know. There's something in the human nature that, you know, that somehow if somebody believes something else, it completely undermines. How much belief can you have if what somebody else believes you feel it's undermining what it is you believe, so that you feel the necessity to beat the hell out of the person who believes something else.
It's amazing to me. And then the money issue, too. It's like we base our whole world economy on a metal that is pretty useless for anything but decoration. You know, gold is, it's bizarre when you think about it.
Well, especially when you think that, you know, if you go to the Bible and the golden calf thing, you know, it's like you're not supposed, you know, they're down there worshiping, you know, it's beyond belief. And it's just it's all, you know, and the whole money thing is kind of a fake thing anyway. But my favorite now is, you know, with the economy's in the dumpster when they're running those ads every hour for send your gold in. What kind of an idiot sends their gold to somebody? What are you, you know, boy, let me go find my watch. I want to get it to you.
Oh, you are funny. Thanks, Louis, so much for being with us. Enjoyed
the
hour.
Well, it was really a pleasure. And I will, you know, hopefully we'll talk again soon. And I just wanted to let folks know my show, Root of All Evil, which is on Comedy Central, comes back July 30th.
Great. Thank you. Louis Black, and his book is Me of Little Faith, which is just coming out today. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and to John Anderson for on-air production, to Andrew Dunn-Bauman for helping in producing this program as well. Tomorrow, this should be a good hour, too. The Last Campaign, Robert F. Kennedy and 82 Days That Inspired America. So join us for that. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.